You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And welcome back to another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the RV across the street from Ben Davis High School. I'm your host, LeVon Durden. Once again, joining me is Jeff Robinson.
I'm back again, and hopefully for another week.
John Easter.
Well, LeVon, this is we've made it through the full season of Inside Ben Davis Football, and I think this is the first time since we've done this format that we've done that. So I'll say congratulations to Coach Kirshner, and I'll let you introduce him.
And head coach of the state finalist Ben Davis High School football team, Mike Kirshner.
It's good to be here again. Good to be here at Arby's, 10th Street. Good to be here considering LeVar Durden didn't really think we'd be here for the last 5 weeks. So the naysayers out there. So now I'm just giving him a hard time. It's been fun. It's been a fun ride. And when you think about it, this is week 14. I believe, you know, because we had the week off last week with the bye week. So 14 weeks of this, it's been, as with the team, it's been a fun ride, as well as doing the radio show.
Well, as we look back at what happened, not last week, but 2 weeks ago in the 6A class semi-state finals, obviously Carmel beating Penn 14-13 in a wild one. But the bigger of the two games was obviously the Giants game. Final score was 49-45, but the Giants were down 17 at the end of the third?
No, with 4:41 to go in the third, we were down 45-28.
Right, so yeah. 45-28.
Almost the end of the third quarter. We had about a little over a quarter to play. We were down 45-28.
But what I want to know is your overview of what happened. How did this comeback become a reality?
Well, we'll start from the beginning. I thought we started off well. You know, they drove down. We got a big stop once they got in our territory. And then Chris Evans exploded. Dorian Tate was out again last week. Chris Evans exploded for a 80-some yard run, you know, one that we really didn't block well. And he kind of reversed his field and took off and got up 7-0. They came down, scored, made it 7-7. We answered, went up 14-7. I thought, you know, we're kind of clicking if we can get our defense to kind of pick it up a little bit, and then they scored and made it 14-14, and they scored and made it 21-14, and honestly, we were on our heels. Their running game was really efficient, you know, with Daggett and Norris, Max Norris and McCoy. They were running the ball really at will at us. You know, they had, I think, 500 and some yards offense when the night was over. Kind of built the lead, and you know, the one I was really disappointed, we got it to 28-21 right before half, and then we gave up a kickoff return, and that was one of the things that, you know, the special teams played pretty well most of the night. That one bothered me. Led them to get a field goal right before half, made it 31-21. We were down 10, you know, but for us, that sounds like a lot, but it's not from the way we play, the way we played offense all year. We come out right away, score, make it 31-28, and then they just kind of take it to us. They, you know, they score, make it 38-28, then they score, make it 45-28, and we just needed something to kind of go. We got a big interception out of Jalen Harden, and from the 4:41 on, and all of the third quarter left, and all of the fourth quarter, we actually stopped him four times. You know, two interceptions, once on a big fourth down play. Tackle was made by sophomore linebacker Will Pate, who was inserted in the game for specific reasons, and he ended up with, I think, six tackles for loss, so that was huge. And in between that time, the off kind of got going. You had you had Kyle throwing it, which was really effective. He dished it out. We had some great catches by receivers, True Smith, Story Emerson, Brennan Gillis. You know, we got it to 45-42. When we kicked off, there was several minutes to go in the game. Center Grove did what Center Grove did, drove it down, you know, got it to a fourth and two, long one, probably not really two, and you're kind of sitting there, you know, if they get the first down, the game's really over. I had a couple timeouts left. We're kind of sitting on them. Will we blitzed. They took a timeout. We blitzed everybody, and Will made the big stop. And, you know, and then from there it was handoff, first down, handoff. And I'll be honest with you, when I saw Chris take off and bounce to the outside, I saw Story Emerson make a key block on the edge. And I turned to the person next to him and I said, crap, he's got the sideline. It's touchdown. And the coach looked, and he did one of these real quick, and he goes, you're right. I mean, you could just kind of see the play develop, and all of a sudden the receiver pins that guy, and you know, and he races 70-some yards for a touchdown, and defense made a stop there at the end again. Like I said, the last four or five possessions, we were able to stop, and it was the first seven possessions we didn't stop them, you know. So they're a good team, you know. They're a good football team. You look at from the time we beat them the first time when they were 1-3 to where they were at now. They went from 1-3 to 9-3, and in that game winning streak, they were averaging 50 points a game, only giving up about 8 or 9 points a game, and so most of those were to Cathedral that they gave up 38 to. So they had worked real hard to get to that point, and we knew it was going to be a tough battle, and we were fortunate.
Once again in this tournament, you've been really a comeback team, come from behind, the dramatic win again. Where is this resilience coming from within this squad?
Well, I think it, Jeff, I think it boils down to our seniors. I think we got a group of kids who are, in some cases, three-year starters, like Kyle Kastner, like Justin Brandon, like Cache Wilder. You got a lot of two-year starters in Tim Fields, Norman Oglesby, Asmar Bilal, Jalen Harden, Brennan Gillis, you know, and the list kind of, Dorian Tate, Chris Evans, who started last year as a sophomore, is now a junior. So you start going through that, and you got a lot of experience, a lot of kids who a year before, 2 years before, were in big games. You know, I know we didn't get very far in the tournament, but both of those years we were co-conference champs, and that lends itself to being able to handle tough situations. I will tell you, in our locker room at halftime, I was a little shocked. You know, I'm not holding anything back here. I thought our kids' heads were down. You know, we were down 31-21, and we kind of had to refocus. You know, there wasn't a yelling. Nobody was screaming, hollering. Just get your heads up and refocus. You know, and then, of course, we go down and we get down 17, but I still didn't get a sense that if we just didn't get something rolling, we needed to make a play defensively. We knew that. But we just needed something to kind of roll. And I think that was to our seniors. I really do. I think they're the heart and soul of what we do.
Well, it's kind of the point, Coach, that now you watch this team and, you know, when you see them, you just can't give up. I mean, I know I think that was the headline in the spotlight was never give up.
Right.
And especially with just Jeff just nailed it with the resiliency of this squad. And I think I asked even last week when we talked about something similar to this, with Kyle Kastner being cool under pressure. You got Chris Evans now, and you, I think you just nailed it, everything that I wanted to ask you about. So,
sorry about that, Tom.
That's okay. But I just, I mean, it's remarkable at a high school level to see this kind of resiliency. I think, if I'm right on this, three of the four games now in the tournament that you played, you've trailed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we trailed it. We trailed at Pike. We trailed with Center Grove. We trailed with Warren. The only one we led going to the fourth quarter was Avon, and we were up 34-14 going into the fourth, and then had to hold on because they scored and scored, made it 34-27 because, you know, they got a great quarterback and a good tailback and Griffin. So, I mean, you know, so I think it really boils down to, you know, you've got a kid like Kyle Kastner who's the quarterback who's been through, I don't know how many games, 40-some games, you know, 30-some games as a football player, and he's kind of seen everything thrown at him, so nothing really rattles him, nothing, you know, he kind of goes with the flow and makes plays when he has to, and so I just think it lends itself to our leadership and our maturity.
you mentioned, though, that, that Center Grove had their running game going. A couple of key injuries, I think, happened. Obviously, losing the big kid.
Max Norris. Absolutely.
Name escaped me there. Losing him on that long run down the sidelines really hurt them. And then later on, McCoy, I think, went out as well. Talk a little bit about how those injuries affected what they wanted to do.
Yeah, well, obviously, and I even said it to the Star in the paper that losing Max Norris might was a game changer. You know, not that we wouldn't have fixed it, but he's really good. And you watch the eight games leading up to it. I mean, he'd just go out and carry the ball 15 times, have 200 yards, call it a night, score five touchdowns, and he's a big, strong, fast kid. And on the play, he got hurt. You know, we've got probably our fastest kid chasing him, and he's losing ground. You know, and he's a track kid. He's a 100-meter kid for Coach Davidson, and he's chasing this kid, and he's not catching him, which is really rare for our DB not to catch people in situations like that. So that just tells you the kind of speed. So I'm sure that changed their game plan a little bit, but the thing about Eric Moore's offense is it's designed just to insert the next back. So, you know, Daggett wasn't getting a lot of carries early in the year, and all of a sudden Max goes down, and he's doing the job. I mean, their offense didn't really slow down, you know. And then McCoy got hurt, but came back, got dinged a little bit and came back. But it definitely affects it. But at the same time, we weren't playing LeSean Johnson, our fullback and our goal line guy and our special teams guy. We weren't playing Dorian Tate, who was sitting on the bench with an ankle. So we were down a little bit too, and injuries are part of the game, and you just got to find a way to keep punching.
Well, defensively, obviously at first it seemed like the defense of the Giants was kind of struggling. They were obviously down by 17, but after Max Norris went out and the defense started picking up, there was one guy in particular that got a lot of attention. I know Channel 40, when I watched the replay of that game, it was brought up, of course, my partner. He brought it up quite a bit, and the guy I'm talking about is William Pate. Came out of nowhere, someone that really you don't prepare for because he hadn't done really anything all season. You put him in here, and he goes off. Where did that come from?
Well, Will's always had it. For Will, it was a growing up thing. In practice, you know, he's been our JV starting linebacker all year. He's a sophomore. He just it was a maturity thing, you know, and it's still a struggle. You know, at practice sometimes, even tonight, it's a struggle. When he wants to play and he wants to focus, he's got the potential to be a very, very good linebacker at the 6A level. But he's got to grow up. You know, he's got to get physically stronger. But the role we asked him to play, which was a very limited role, and if you noticed and you really watched the game, he wasn't in there for long periods of time. But it was a very specific role we'd have him play, and he took advantage of it. I think, like I said, he had six tackles for loss. He took advantage of the opportunity he was given and has made the most of it, and he'll get another opportunity here in about 3 days.
Something that really kind of catches my eye in terms of looking at the numbers on how you've made this trip this far, the number of points you've given up in the tournament, your low point total given up, the 27 to Avon.
Yeah.
How do you explain being able to advance against this kind of competition, giving up this many points?
Well, you can look at it as, all right, we can play really good defense and not give up a lot of points and maybe not score as many. Or we've got some really talented kids on offense, and we take advantage of that as well. And defensively, it's just honestly, it's been a struggle all year. I'm not telling my players anything they don't know. At times, we just, you know, there's anomalies in there. For instance, the first Center Grove game was 28-0. You know, and you look at it, we held Cathedral to 19 points, counting the safety in the first game of the season. You know, and then we'll turn around and just get drilled by somebody. You know, and it's we struggle with sometimes our mental focus and our mental toughness, and it shows up, and teams take advantage of it, and we just keep telling our defense, find a way to make enough stops to get the offense to the ball and let them do what they do best.
At the same time, to your credit, it seems like you've been able to come up with the big stop when you've needed it in the tournament run.
Right. You look at the last game, we had two big interceptions by Jalen Harden in the second half and a big fourth down stop. You go back to the Warren game, You know, we honestly, when they were driving and it's 33-33, we're literally saying we just got to keep them to a field goal. We keep them to a field goal. We keep them to a field goal. We make a great second. I think it's second and about seven, and we throw them for a loss. McKelty tries to bounce it out. We throw them for a loss. Hold them to, a 45-yard field goal, which in a lot of cases isn't what you think is going to beat you. But the kid made a nice kick, and, you know, they were able to execute it. You look at the Pike game. We had a big interception for a touchdown by Jalen Harden, a pick six, that kind of sealed that game. That game was kind of in doubt till that happened. So we've been opportunistic when we've had to be. You just like to be a little stouter in between, and we've struggled with that.
Well, that's going to do it here for the first half. Obviously, again, the Giants won their 6A class matchup with a final score of 49-45 over the Center Grove Trojans. Now when we come back, it's State against none other than the Carmel Greyhounds. A 30-second break, and then we'll be right back here on Inside Ben Davis Football here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. And welcome back here live to Inside Ben Davis Football, live from Arby's across the street from Ben Davis High School. I'm LeVon Durden. Once again, joining me is Jeff Robinson.
I'm back.
John Easter.
Hello, LeVon.
And head coach of the state-bound Ben Davis Giants football team, Mike Kirshner.
Good to be back. Let's find out what's next.
Well, it is no shocker to anybody anymore in Wayne Township. It's been spread around, but it's clear the Giants are going to Lucas Oil Stadium. They're playing the Carmel Greyhounds in a rematch of a week five, I want to say.
Nope, week seven.
Week seven. Yep. Yeah, two off.
Oh, closer. But a week seven matchup, which the Giants lost 37-14.
Did you get this? I put it in your mail today.
That's the one thing I did not.
Okay.
I've been doing tours all day. But, again, they did lose 37-14 to the Greyhounds. But one thing that I know you've kind of made clear, and a lot of people made clear, the conditions are going to be different than what you guys played against Carmel. How have you guys gone about preparing for a state-level matchup?
Well, obviously you're playing a very good football team. They're 13-0. They've won the MIC. They won the sectionals, the regionals. They had a tough road game up north to Penn 2 weeks ago when we played Center Grove. Make a long story short, the first time we played them, weather conditions weren't very good, but that doesn't justify the butt beating we took. Basically, I told all the reporters yesterday or Monday at the media, IHSA media day, was they took us behind the woodshed and they gave it to us. You know, the weather didn't mean that their offensive line dominated our D-line or their D-line dominated our O-line, which is kind of what happened, which led to the free-for-all. The score, 37-14, was not really indicative of the game. It was not that close. You know, I'm not mincing words. We didn't play well. We counted 11 drop passes. Kyle still threw for 250 yards, but we had 11 drop passes. We had 7 bad center snaps. And honestly, the drop pass and the center snaps have nothing to do with the conditions. I mean, if they hit you in the hands, you still have to catch them. 3 of those drop passes were wide-open touchdowns. One was on a fourth down seam right. I mean, he's in the end zone. He just has to catch it, and he's in the end zone. So we didn't play well, which is because of them. They were very physical. I thought they tackled very, very well. And their offensive scheme puts – they motion and shift so much that they put you in conflict mentally and try to get you out of position, which they did. You know, they've got what I call the four-headed monster, which is their running game. You got the Perkins kid who was playing receiver DB but also plays quarterback. You got Pascal, who's the big, strong fullback that they run a bunch and very powerful kid. You got Perkins, 21, who's very elusive, quicker, not as big a runner in between the tackles as Pascal. And I know he hasn't played much since our game week 7, you got the quarterback, Victrop, number 12, I believe, who is he was a state qualifier in track. He's unbelievably fast and throws the ball really, really well. And so if Victrop's back and he's healthy, which I know he played a little bit last 2 weeks ago against Penn, so I don't really know what his complete status is, but you take those four, you're dealing with a very powerful offensive system. And then on the defensive side, you got number 4, and I never remember his name, big outside linebacker's got D1 off.
Noah Burks,
thank you. Very good. They got number 92, big DN, who's really good and very impressive, and their kicking game is excellent. So It wasn't so much that, you know, I don't want to use the weather as a reason, because weather doesn't stop you from playing hard. Weather doesn't stop you from tackling. Weather doesn't stop you from hitting. Weather doesn't stop you from getting off blocks. And we did none of those things, which is because of what Carmel did to us.
You and I talked after that Carmel game, and one thing that caught my eye was I questioned the amount of hitting that your defense was doing at that time. It seems like you guys have worked a lot on that. How can that make a difference in terms of trying to negate their running game?
Well,
around?
We have. Since that game, our practices have been very, very physical, very, very demanding, to the point where some of my coaches are real concerned that we've gone to the other extreme and you risk injury. We haven't to this point, but you do. There is a little bit of a gamble when you do that. But the idea was we weren't physical the night we played them. We'd lost 2 weeks earlier to Warren, and we were beginning to question our physicality. And then we played Lawrence North, won relatively easy. Our offense exploded, I don't know, 21 points in four plays. And so maybe got another false sense that we were okay. Okay, and then we turned around and played Carmel, and they really kind of exposed some things we weren't real happy with 2 weeks earlier but thought we got away with. So we changed our practice schedule. You know, we followed that up with a tough win over LC, then North Central, and then obviously our tournament run. But I think it's helped us. You know, you can only make a kid so tough, but at some point at the high school level, you got to be able to hit them. And we didn't think we were earlier, so we'll see how it goes from here.
Coach, obviously your offense so far this year, according to the stats I have here, 6,082 yards
school,
of offense.
School record.
By far a school record.
Yeah, the school record was in 15 games.
Right, and not even, I mean, not doesn't even come close.
It was
close.
Like 55,000 something prior to this.
Carmel, and averaging 467.8 yards a game.
That's
Carmel,
us, 400.
Right, yeah. Right. Carmel gives up only 268 yards per game. And only gives up 11.5 points. You guys average 41.8 points. Strength versus strength here.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me.
Well, you're right. Our offense has got to find a way to move the ball on their defense. We moved it at times against them the first time, but again, we had a fumble early. We had a drop punt snap early. We put our defense in a hole. And honestly, going into halftime, we were down 17-0, and defensively, we didn't feel it, although we were on our heels. It wasn't bad because we'd given them so many short fields to play in. But their defense is excellent. There's no question. Our offense has been working real hard to try to take advantage of some of the things they may give up in their defensive scheme and continue. I don't know what's going to happen Saturday, Friday night, but, you know, to know that we scored 49 on Pike, 34 on Avon, 40 on Warren, and Warren was only giving up about 9 or 10 points a game we played them, and then 49 on Center Grove, which I think are four pretty good football teams. That speaks volumes of what our offensive firepower has the ability to do.
When it comes to Carmel, last time you guys played them, they obviously took whatever you gave them, which was pretty much right up the gut. And that was something that kind of stuck with me when you guys played all the teams that you have, the teams that you've had after Carmel. But how do you plan on stopping the run in the pass this time around, especially when, like I said, they don't take more than you give them?
Well, we're going to have to find a way. We've been working real hard on scheme, trying to change our defensive scheme a little bit to take away the inside zone, which is what Pascal hurt us on so much the first time. And then deal with the jet and outside zone, which is what James hurt us on before he had to go to quarterback when Vic Tripp went down in the third quarter. So we've been working real honestly since we got beat by him. We've been working really hard thinking if we get fortunate enough to get back here, we got to have a plan. We got to have a system. So we're going to do some things differently, try to take some things away. I don't know that you slow them down completely, but we got to find a way to slow them down enough that our offense can get the ball.
I'd like to kind of go back and talk about you personally going through this experience. You've been there as an assistant coach along the way. How is this different as the head coach going into a state championship game?
Well, quite different, actually. You know, I was there twice under Coach Delahan as an assistant and was forever grateful for those opportunities. I became the head coach 8 years ago, and you think you're going to get there. And it sounds easier than it is. And after we won Center Grove, everybody says, you know, I enjoyed that night. And everybody says, you got to enjoy this. You got to take some time, step back, you know. And the answer is I have to a point, but the level of commitments and expectations and meetings and media and have all been ramped up more so than I've ever had to deal with before in my life. And so as much as I'm trying to just focus on practice and the game, the demands on my time are so much more than they were, that you just you got to stop at some point. I keep telling myself every day, just like tonight, I really enjoyed practice. I told myself, because Monday I didn't, and I had a long day Monday down with the IHSA, and some things happened there that don't make me real happy, I went back to practice frustrated, and I didn't handle practice well. That was me personally as much as anything. Tonight I made the decision I was going to go out there and I was going to have fun, and the kids had fun. It was cold. Kids didn't care. Mark Lahr, trainer, walked up and said, we're going to cut this off in about 5 or 10 minutes. He goes, there's no hurry. Your kids are having a blast. And they were. They were running around, having fun, thinking it was the greatest thing. You wouldn't know they were cold. I'm sure they were. You know, at one point I took off my coat, my hoodie and my long sleeve shirt, and I'm out there in a t-shirt, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm freezing, and I'm out there just running around going, ain't cold. I'm thinking, oh my God, let's be done, I'm freezing. So that's what I remember. You know, I sat them down on the field at the end, and I had them look north at the scoreboard, which wasn't up. That's in the garage door shut on the scoreboard. I said, take a picture of what it would look like to put 2014 under 1999 there. I said, put that picture in your mind, because in about 72 hours, that's what you're going to get the opportunity to do. So,
well, that was going to be my question.
Sorry, ma'am.
I'm reading your mind tonight, John.
That's what happened. No. He kind of answered. And by the way, we did get an Ask Kirsch quote.
Oh, my goodness. We're on a roll.
But I feel like... I feel like you've already answered it. The Ask Kirsch question was, how are you going to stop Carmel's offense? And yeah, I think you've already.
It's going to be about scheme and personnel. There's going to be some personnel changes and some scheme changes.
And it was Alex Kirby, so he did identify it as the Auburn offense.
There you go. It is. It exactly is.
You know, you personally, I'm not going to lie, I'm not unbiased here at all. You're my friend, and I really have enjoyed this run probably more than any other.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Because I don't think there are certain, you know, obviously the offense puts up the numbers that it puts up, and it has made, I think, it has covered up some things that maybe in the past the defense covered up for the offense. But, you know, as you look, I mean, you know, I'm very happy for you. Personally,
thank you.
I can just remember being up there and you know, the emotion of everything and just my experience being up in that press box for the Center Grove game, and I look around and it's like it's full. I mean, Alex Kirby's up there and he's pulling my jersey. You know, I had like a wind shirt on and he's pulling that thing nearly off, and then you know, the game ends and I'm it. I'm the only one in the press box. It's Dave Lindsay and the PA guys, the radio crew. And I'm the only one in the middle of the press box there. And I just sat down and I started crying. I really did. And I haven't been out there. And you hit on the team. They sounded like they were having a blast tonight. I mean,
yeah.
I was listening to them and there was yelling and screaming and they were having fun. And you could tell it wasn't like exasperated yells. And I mean, they were out there having a blast. And this has just been a fun group of guys, a fun group of football team. But, you know, like I said, there's no question here. I'm just happy for you.
Well, I
really
appreciate
am.
That.
And
the neat
I'll
thing,
second
I'm,
that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
And you know, I know you've taken your share over the years.
I've been abused. It's all right.
And it probably, you know, I'm here to tell you, probably won't go away after this.
Nope.
But I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
Really am, and I hope, and I think a lot of people out there are.
Yeah, I'm going to add something to that.
And for the rest of the
school, and Wayne Township. You know, some things happened. For instance, this morning, the teachers served the entire football team, cheerleaders, managers, trainers, pancake and sausage breakfast. Something they used to do back in the 80s and 90s that kind of got lost over the years. And to see Sherry and Mark Montgomery in there cooking hamburgers and pancakes. Derek Eaton and serving our kids. It's not a buffet. They're serving our kids. The kids are eating. Dr. Butts is there and Sandy Squire's there and they're all just chipping in. Dennis Tackett from the administration building, and it's like John Taylor. And I'm like, wow, this is really neat. And to see the community, you know, and our community in some respects has some tough lives. You know, we've talked about this before, and some of the guys that they come from tough walks of life, and to see people walk around with a Ben Davis shirt on and they're proud, you know, and when that happens, it's good for me to see other people enjoy the ride of the football team. And I keep telling the kids, and they've heard me say it 25 times in the last 2 days, be respectful and be thankful, because there's a whole lot of people that you're on their back and they're riding you down to Lucas Oil because they want to feel good about being part of Wayne Township. And
absolutely.
And I said it this morning to Dr. Butts, we are Wayne. This football team, this community, we are Wayne. That's what we are, and that's what we aspire to be part of, and we're blessed to have gotten this far. And, you know, the critics can say what they want, do what they want, call me what they want. I really don't care. We're going to Lucas Oil, and we're going to have fun Friday, win or lose.
There's been only one other individual to lead this program to a state finals.
And he's a pretty good guy.
Dick Dullahan. And he'll be calling the game with Jerry Baker.
Yes, he will.
So
yeah, I met with him today, had an interview with Coach Dullahan today.
Got to talk to him a little bit the other day, and he was beaming. You know, of course,
I do have a question.
Dick's always beaming.
I do have a question, and this is a radio question.
Okay.
I know our intro's been our intro forever and ever.
Yeah.
Any chance the finish to what they announced on the game-winning touchdown against Center Grove becomes part of the intro? Huh?
That was a great finish.
It was a great – to listen to them call it. Me and my wife have played it multiple times. They kept speaking. They didn't get silent. They knew what was going on.
And LeVon and turned down the mics as they were going.
And the enthusiasm in their voice was contagious.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a great job by those guys. I really did.
And Corey will hear this when he's putting the pregame together. So there you go,
good,
Corey.
Good, good. I wanted to make note of that.
Well, after that four-minute talk, do you
see LeVon, man, he is just like...
I'm sorry if I've kept you from something.
You're not keeping me for anything. Oh, you're not keeping me
for 4 weeks, I didn't think we'd even be here.
We have some of the easiest jobs in radio talking to you.
But
LeVon just keeps us honest, doesn't
that's
he?
Right.
Just like,
that's right. Keeps us
just
grounded.
Keep going.
Is there anything else you haven't told us that you want to say in your final words?
Be careful, man. He's got your grade first period. Yeah.
Purple Rain did a great job against Center Grove. I mean, our student section was great. I didn't see hardly any student section on the other side, which really shocked me. I didn't, you know, so I don't think I have to ask them to come out on Friday because I think they're all planning on being there. Dylan Lighty and Dontre Graves have been great leading it. I'm happy for the community, and I hope we just go down and enjoy the day.
Well, and just real quick, I think that you guys are living proof that if you just keep doing things right, things will come out in your favor. And let's finish the job now, Giants. Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving to all Ben Davis
Absolutely.
Fans. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, it's kind of clear. I told Easter I'd fit this in somewhere. The Giants, the finish line is obviously near. But now the question that remains is, will they walk it or will they run it as a group? We are Wayne. We are Giants. It's a beautiful thing.
And we are one.
We are one.
We are one.
Absolutely.
So thank you to Corey in the studio for another great episode being there for us. And Coach Kirshner, we do have another show for you next Tuesday.
We'll wrap
lose.
Up.
Win or lose, we'll see what happened. And then from there on, we'll see where the Giants go from there with the whole... I'm sorry. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming being
here. It's neat to be along for the ride.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
I talked
is.
To Tom Hayes about that. He said it's been great experience for his kids
to be along.
Same with the TV, everybody.
Any chance you could maybe get a couple players here next week?
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't be a problem at all. That would not be a problem.
Maybe we'll have to extend the show next week.
Hey, who knows?
I'd like to talk to a couple of those guys.
Okay. Yeah, I can arrange it.
Well, that's going to do it.
Especially if they're eating.
That's going to do it for this week. Again, the Giants playing none other than the Carmel Greyhounds this Friday, 7:05 expected kickoff time. I'm not sure if that will end up happening with the other two great matchups that are happening that day. But nonetheless, Giants play Carmel Greyhounds this Friday for the Class 6A State Championship. That's going to do it here from inside Ben Davis Football as we send it back to the studio here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
How important was that text? Texting and driving. Let's not.
We have come together.
We have come together.
To fight for victory.
Fight for victory.
Best friends with one another.
Best friends with one another.
I want my family.
I want my family.
So come on, Giants.
Come on, my Giants.
Join us with the fun.
Join us with the fun.
Our team is finally ready.
Our team is finally ready.
Fight for number one.
Fight for number one.
Our team includes many things.
Team includes many things.
Help us win this fight.
Help us win this fight.
Go, it's pride, boys.
Go, it's pride, boys.
Show us what is right.
Show us what is right.
If we don't do this right,
we don't do it right.
We'll find out what's wrong.
We'll find out what's wrong.
Our team will never give up.
Let's take a look back at School Talk last week with your host, Emerson Allen, and some other kids in that show you might know, Chaz Stringer and Jalen Harden.
But Jalen, reiterate the question. Now you're playing, I mean, and you're down. Where do you find it? Where do you find the energy? Where do you find the strength? Where do you find the umption to say it's not over until that whistle blows, until coach is in the coach's room saying you didn't do this? Where do you find it?
Well, I honestly feel like it all comes from the heart. And basically, I feel like it also comes from our coaches too, because like our coaches could have easily, we was down, our coaches could have easily came in at halftime just like, you know what, team, let's just finish the game, you feel me? And just like, let's just finish it off. But even they don't matter how much we're down, they come in with a positive attitude. They always get us hype and ready. And I always feel like if your coaches is hyper than the players, then something's wrong. So I always take that as, I always just take that energy from them and just like, okay, this can be my last high school game ever. This can be it for me. So I'm about to just leave it all on the field. I want to be remembered from Ben Davis as a great football player, and if I don't leave it all on the field, how can I be remembered as a great football player? So it really just all how you take the game. You can never just give up, because once you give up mentally and heart, then you lost the battle. And I think that's what our team did. Even when they kept scoring on us, our defense just looked at each other and just like, hey, we still got this. We just gotta figure out the little mistakes that's going on. We just got to just figure out what's wrong and just improve. And I think that's exactly what we did.
Well, I really think, like Jalen said, it starts with the heart and trusting in your teammates, really. It's not me giving up because I'm not giving up on my brothers on the field. If I give up, then I'm letting down my other brothers. So that's the mentality that I have when I go out on the field. And being down, you know, I don't care really what people say. You play a little bit more looser. You have a little bit more pep in your step. Oh, we got to get going. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So I think not being down and down on the scoreboard, it's just really a reflection of how much more work you have to put in. And the game isn't over until the clock hits zero in the fourth quarter. So, you know, some bad plays, some unfortunate events can happen. But you fight to the end regardless of the situation, because you never know what can happen. And you've seen that in the last two games that we played. The defense, you know, we've had some problems in the first half and stuff, but in the second half, we kind of got things figured out when we really needed to. And we know that our offense is one of the top offenses in the state. We just need to get them the ball, because everybody on our team is playmakers. And we had the best trainers and preparation that goes in during the week, so in the fourth quarter, we're fine-tuned. It's not us being tired. It's us starting to figure things out, really.
I got a question for you, Coach.
Yep.
Do you get butterflies when your guys go on the field?
To answer the question, this is my 31st year of coaching, and the answer is absolutely. In fact, they know we have a team meal every Friday. I don't eat the meal because if I do, I'd get sick. I can't keep my food down from about noon on, and then I don't eat until about midnight that night because I just I'm like a little child. And honestly, you hate to say it, but I got done playing and I got into coaching because I miss playing so much. Right. Kind of like you're into promoting because you miss. You're not in the ring, but you're finding another avenue that puts you as close to the ring as possible.
Absolutely.
I found another avenue that puts me as close to being on the field as possible, and I get to celebrate with these young men on Friday nights and really throughout the year. They know what we go through, the weights in the winter and the 6 a.m. speed developments in the spring and the co-captains in the summer and the team camp we go to in the summer. It's a 12-month deal that we push their buttons on, and they're now reaping the fruits of their labor right now, and I get so tied up. This is the first Friday in 14 weeks I feel good.
Wow.
Because wow. I don't have a game today.
Wow. Well, I just want to say this to you guys, man. I'm with you 100% in spirit, man. And I just want you to do me a favor. I just want you to show up and show out, man. You know, anything less would be uncivilized.
Jalen, all those, why put out all that? Why is it worth it?
Well, teamwork is...
Why not just stay home and play a video game? It's easy. Stay home. Just watch to play a video game.
Oh, because it's nothing like actually being on the field and be able to take your anger out on somebody else, really. It's football is... I played a lot of sports, and this is by far my favorite. It's just... I love the game so much because it's so intense. And one thing about football that, you feel me, that's different from basketball is that you can't just depend on yourself. You can't, it's all about 11, every person on the field, everybody has to do their job for the whole team to be successful. And you just can't just be, it can't just be one star on a team. But I mean, it can be one star on a team, but it's not, he's not nothing if the other 10 wasn't doing anything. You feel me? Because he can't make every tackle, or he can't make every touchdown. He can't make a touchdown without the guards or the receivers blocking. It's just... It builds a family. This game is just, it's more than just a game. It's more of building a new family. And I know I didn't build all these 4 years. I built a strong family. I love everybody on the team.
Same question to you, Chad. Why don't you sit home and play video games? I mean, why do you want to put all this effort, all this deal with the endurance and strength and power and speed? What's it going to get you? What you going to gain? Stay home and play video games.
Well, number one, it's more fun to be out there on Friday night than it is to turn on the Xbox or the PS3. It's a feeling that you can't get, you know. Anybody can play video games. Anybody can, you know, hold a controller and do something with the video game. But to go out there and show true skill, hard work, time that you put in, and it comes out on the field with your brothers, like Jalen said, with your teammates. Like you said, there's no one person on the team that is just, you know, a Johnny Manziel or Jameis Winston. It's you have stars, but without the other 10, you wouldn't see it, because if I don't do my job on the side of the field, then if Jalen does his job, so what? Because I could get caught on, and then that's a first down. So I trust in him on the other side, and he trusts in me to get our job done. So, and really, with a video game, you don't get that camaraderie with your friends and your family. You grow. And
right, think about growing. Okay, what is this teaching you about life? What are you getting for your life? Is this end on the football field? Does it end right there? I'm getting in your face. I know I'm in your face, but you tell me, playing football, does it teach you life lessons?
Of course, especially in training. When things get tough, do you quit? Do you find other ways to get out of workouts? Do you look for the option out, rather than, you know, saying, you know what, I got to get through this one way or another. You got to find a way to get over the hump, and it really just shows you how far you can get in life if you put your head down and just push until the end, and when you finally get that end result, like we are now for state, you can see, wow. That hard work and everything that you put in, it shows, and it means something more than just, you know, a title.
Wow, that's huge. Now, Jalen, I mean, you gotta add something to that.
It's all the work we put through all season. I'm telling you, Ben Davis football is a all around year program. Like, we never stop the grind. Like, we keep going, and it's been days where I'd be like, man, why is Kirsch, why do we have to lift weights every day? Like, I don't understand this. This is insane. But I'm here now. Next week on Black Friday, I'm playing for a state title, and this is every high school player football dream. Like, every year the team come up and say, okay, man, this the team. We gonna win state, but only one team can win it. And I got so much confidence in my team, it's ridiculous. Cause I just, like, every time I step on the field, I always think about the off season. That's all I think about. Like, did we put in enough work to win this? Like, man, I honestly agree that we did. Like, it was crazy. It was times. Co-captains, oh my God, it's probably one of the worst workouts I ever did. Just running in the hot weather, and then we coming in 6 in the morning to just doing the little things, getting our agility up, flipping tires. Man, it's insane. But I swear it's all worth it. I'm glad I did every bit of it.
The question is, would you do it all over again?
What? Every game I play, I swear, I wish, like, man, I just wish I had one more year. I wish I had one.
Because the one thing I always get when it's all over is, as hard as it was and as much as they complain, and you know this from all your training, champ, to go back in the ring one more time, and after 31 years of being a coach, if somebody asked me if there's one thing I could go back in time and do, I wouldn't change my wife, wouldn't change my kids, love my life, but I would go back and play one more Friday football game. Because that was when I got on a Friday night field and got to play, that was it for me. That was like I'd reached the pinnacle of everything I wanted to do. And I'm sure Champ would say, you know, I wish I could go back 10 years and be in Chicago one more time, because I think I could do it in 43 seconds instead of 53. You know what I'm saying? And do it one more time. And that's what sports are about. It builds that inner drive that I'm not saying other people don't have it. You don't have to be in sports to have it. But when you get it, it carries you through life, and there's nothing you think you can't do on a daily basis to succeed. Right. It's about life lessons, and that's what we hope to have accomplished. And the number of alumni that are coming back for this 6A game is going to be phenomenal. The number of people that I've had contact with that I coached in 2000, 2001, and the neat thing is I got calls from young men that I coached at Warren Central back in the early 90s that are coming back for the game. And I said, really, you're a Warren grad, played for me at Warren? And he said, I'm not rooting for Ben Davis, I'm rooting for Coach Kirshner. So I'm coming to the game. And when you have things like that being said to you, and you know what our kids have put through when they're running 50-40s in the summer and running hills and bleachers and flipping tires at 6 a.m. in April and May when everybody else is asleep, they're coming in the MPA and killing themselves before school and then lifting weights during school, so they're getting double workouts.
Well, Carmel, I want to see Ben Davis smash them dudes, man.
Hit him in the mouth, right?
Yes, sir. One hit it, quit it.
Ben Davis basketball. It's a winning tradition, full of excitement, buzzer beaters, and more.
Taylor McDaniel with 1 second wants to shoot a half court. And good! Can you count the half-court shot there by Taylor McDaniel?
Coach James and Coach Lentz each have a goal this season, and they will not be pleased until it is met. Aaron Young and the Lady Giants.
They're highly contested their defense, and she dies on the floor and saves it. Gets number 15 of Aaron Young, and the layup is good.
Brennan Gillis and the Giants.
Beatty over to Gillis. Gillis for three. Gillis has it!
They will leave it all on the court this winter for a chance at a state title. Coverage will be here on WBDG Giant 90.9, your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. Let's go, Giants.
And that is how the game will end. 55-50, the Giants win.
Corey Clark here, WBDG Giant 90.9. I got the playmaker with me, and Chris Evans. Chris, what is up, my man?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
I heard you just made a big play. Like, your team's going to state or something?
Mm-hmm.
How's it feel, dude? Like, your team going to state since the first time since 2002, and you're leading your team back to state. Like, just from Chris Evans' perspective and the team, what's it feel like for you guys?
I saw before the season started how hard our seniors been working, and our seniors really drove the team and the leadership was, and I knew we had a great group of coaches to be around us and to push us in the weight room and in the classroom and in the film room. So I knew we were going to be here.
Man, Chris Evans always got that perspective of where he's going to be. Chris, just break down the last game when you play. You had an 82-yard touchdown run. You had one before that where it was, like, unbelievable. You broke three tackles, wrapped around Kyle Kastner, who tried to make a block, and he still ran the touchdown. What's up with – break down the play for the game-winning touchdown.
We were going during the drive, and our coach, Coach Ferris, gave us the signal to the sideline, and, like, he calls the play – I think it was Tennessee, and – and it was just like, that's like my favorite play, honestly, because if you hit it fast, then you'll get open. So I hit it fast, great blocking by the offensive lineman, and I just hit it. And then I saw a defender, and then I looked to my right, and I saw True, my number 15, and he got a great block for me. And then I saw Story Emerson on the side give me a good block, and I just started taking off and started running. And then just all the speed training that Coach V. Bush and Coach Davidson just pit into me, just excelled then.
It's a game-winning drive. You guys have had back-to-back game-winning drives. Take me back to Warren Central in that game-winning drive. Were you guys nervous at all?
Mm-mm. If we got a great coaching staff and Kyle Kastner, if we got Kyle Kastner, the potential Mr. Football, in my opinion, he's Mr. Football. If we got him and he's, like, right by my side and, like, right by the team, and I think just that his, like, poise that he keeps in the game just, like, keeps me so focused in the game because, like, he keeps it together. Like, junior year, it was a little iffy here and there. But I know that came senior year, he got it together and just was a great leader. And I think he's the big factor of the team in our drives. Without the ball in his hand, there would probably be nothing.
How much does it surprise you, though? Like, Kyle doesn't have a big-time offer. We know you're getting those offers. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as much as you say Kyle's the big leader on that team, Kyle's not really, like, getting those big-time offers from IU or Purdue or any of those big-time colleges out there.
Well, in my opinion, I think that he can play anywhere, to be honest. Like, just the poise that he has. It's just the coaches that are deciding to give the offers aren't seeing my perspective of it, of him, you know, talking to me before the play, or I'll talk to him before the play, and they're just not seeing a perspective of it. And I think it'll open up as the season gets over.
All right, well, hopefully that does happen. I'll talk about you a little bit. We know I just heard you got your first offer from Indiana University. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Just give me the perspective, the rundown of the whole getting recruited part. Like,
some coaches come in during weights to talk to Coach Kirshner, and I go to some visits here and there with my uncle because I'm thankful enough for him to take me places. And, like, I've been to IU several times, and I've been to Ohio State several times. And the recruiting process is going good right now.
That's good. We won't get rid of two in it. Right, before I let you go, Chris, just explain to me, what's it mean to this community? Not just the team, but the whole community of Wayne Township and Ben Davis. The Ben Davis Giants are finally going back to state.
It's ecstatic for a whole Wayne Township. Like, people are starting to come out just because we're winning. Like, people that normally didn't come out because Ben Davis football hasn't been as serious as it was in 2002, that people are starting to come out. Coach Kirshner is getting emails and just great things from the community, and it's big for us.
What are you going to take away from the Carmel Greyhounds, though? You do play them in the state championship. The last time you guys played, it wasn't real pretty. For regular season games, that happens. We lost to Warren in the regular season. You came back and beat him.
Carmel, and the All-MIC voting, they had eight players, so they have terrific athletes and terrific talent and great coaches. So I think there were no excuses for the loss, but we were kind of in a storm, as I could say, cold rain, and it really receivers were dropping passes, and we couldn't keep our focus, and plus we were on the road, so it made it even worse. So I think being in Lucas Oil with the atmosphere being indoors, that it's going to change the whole perspective of the game.
All right, well, I got Chris Evans here, the playmaker. It's going to be a great game here tonight. Giant 90.9.
It's now time for the Purple Rain Minute on Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
The school and Wayne Township, you know, some things happened. For instance, this morning, the teachers served the entire football team, cheerleaders, managers, trainers, pancake and sausage breakfast, something they used to do back in the 80s and 90s that kind of got lost over the years. And to see Cherry and Mark Montgomery in there cooking hamburgers and pancakes, Derek Eaton, and serving our kids. It's not a buffet. They're serving our kids. The kids are eating. The kids. Dr. Butts is there, and Sandy Squire's there, and they're all just chipping in. Dennis Tackett from the administration building, and it's like John Taylor. Like, wow, this is really neat, and to see the community. You know, and our community in some respects has some tough lives. You know, we've talked about this before, and some of the guys that they come from tough walks of life, and to see people walk around with a Ben Davis shirt on, and they're proud. You know, and when that happens, it's good for me to see other people enjoy the ride of the football team. And I keep telling the kids, and they've heard me say it 25 times the last 2 days, be respectful and be thankful, because there's a whole lot of people that you're on their back, and they're riding you down to Lucas Oil because they want to feel good about being part of Wayne Township. And I said it this morning to Dr. Butts, we are Wayne. This football team, this community, we are Wayne. That's what we are, and that's what we aspire to be part of, and we're blessed to have gotten this far. And, you know, the critics can say what they want, do what they want, call me what they want. I really don't care. We're going to Lucas Oil, and we're going to have fun Friday, win or lose. Purple Rain did a great job against Center Grove. I mean, our student section was great. I didn't see hardly any student section on the other side, which really shocked me. I didn't, you know, so... I don't think I have to ask them to come out on Friday, because I think they're all planning on being there. Dylan Lighty and Dontre Graves have been great leading it. I'm happy for the community, and I hope we just go down and enjoy the day.
Let's finish the job now, Giants. Yeah.
Beautiful run there by number 25 of Manny Harris.
From WBDG.
Now it's time for WBDG's Player Perspective Time with your own Ben Davis Giants running back Manny Harris. Here on Manny Talk on Giants 90.9.
All right, we got Manny Talk back in session. Yes, we are. Take a seat, listen up, because I got Manny Harris back here for the last time of the 2014 football season of Manny Talk. Manny, how you doing?
I'm all right, man.
Corey Clark here, WBDG. Can't forget that, but Manny, state bounds, all you can think about right now. Talk a little bit about it. What's it feel like to be going to state this Friday night, be playing the Carmel Greyhounds in the 6A state championship at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Man, the feeling is so surreal, man. You know, it's just crazy. You know, the support that we got for the preparation of the game is great. You know, it was all a dream. You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we took one game at a time. We weren't really focused on state, but you know, now we're here, and it's crazy. You know, it's so surreal, and it's just incredible. The feeling is great.
Yeah. Manny, bring this up a little bit. Talk about what the community has done for you guys these past 2 weeks getting prepared for the game.
Man, you know, we've done a lot of pep rallies. We've also had a pancake breakfast. Also, we had, you know, the little baggies and presents that they give us at the end of the day for the last two days. But, you know, it's just it's great. You know, they you know, support us a lot, and it's just great how much they, you know, give us and support us as being a, you know, football team. So
everything the school and the community is doing for you guys as a football team in a whole, is that just getting you guys more and more excited for the football game?
Yeah. Crazy.
All right, you guys play the Carmel Greyhounds. Well, let me ask you this. You guys played Carmel the first time around the regular season, though. It didn't turn out too well. The weather conditions are going to be completely different. Mm. It's going to be a new day. Tell me about what's going to be different this time around.
Man, everything's going to be different. Our reads are going to be more accurate. Our runs are going to be more accurate. You know, choosing which gap to run into, choosing what player to pass to. Special teams has really improved, and you know, since we're in perfect weather, and you know, it's just going to be crazy. So everything's pretty much going to be different. It's, you know, it's a new game, you know, 0-0. So yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, now the question is, what color diamond are you guys going to have on your state ring after this game is over? Manny, thank you for all this Manny talk, and good luck this Friday night against the Carmel Greyhounds in the 6A state championship game.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Ben Davis versus Cathedral.
So with the punt nearly in, blocked and taken back. Touchdown, Giants, as it is blocked.
And Antonio McEwen, the defensive end for the defensive line, with the block there, cutting through the special teams line for the Cathedral Fighting Irish, able to block it, pick it up, and score a touchdown to give the Giants a 16-0 lead.
Ben Davis versus Avon.
Pierce just takes a snap, looks left, looks right, scrolling out to the right side, trying to take it himself, 45, and boom, it hit there by
Asmar Bilal.
And Asmar Bilal said, hello, Brandon Peters, what are you doing running my territory? And he's Peters is staying down, as I would too.
Ben Davis versus Pike.
Kastner, shotgun formation. Emerson Bond and Smith to the near. Evans and the two of Gillis to the far, going deep end.
Oh, he's got it!
And he's got it! Touchdown, Giants!
Wow!
He gets the ball off to the 12 of Chris Evans.
Ben Davis versus Center Grove.
Setting up again, second and goal. Now ball at the 6-yard line. 2:48 remaining here in the first half. Play clock down to 16. Kastner and Tate in the backfield. Going to hand out the gut to Tate. Tate breaks free and gets in with no problem. Touchdown, Giants.
Ben Davis versus Warren Central.
Now setting up again. Ace formation. Kastner and Tate in the backfield. Bond and Gillis in the near. He will... thought about giving it off. Now he's going to dump it off to Evans, who's got an open lane and a touchdown for the Ben Davis fans.
And what a beautiful play call. Kastner rolling out to the left side. Bolton, a quick screen pass over to Evans, who's able to keep his balance and tiptoe down the sideline for a touchdown. Giants.
Ben Davis versus Lawrence Nord.
He could very much easily break the record on this drive.
Ace formation yet again. Kastner and Tate in the backfield. True Smith, Chris Evans, and Story Emerson on to the right. And Kastner is going to look to throw here on the play. Finds Chris Evans, who's got it open. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. And Kyle Kastner breaks the all-time passing yard here at Ben Davis.
Ben Davis versus Lawrence Central.
Haas is going to stand back in the pocket. Haas now scrambles. And he's brought down behind the line. A huge sack there made
by Dallas Pitts.
Ben Davis versus North Central.
Kastner taking the backfield again. Ace formation. Kastner's going to hand it off up the gut to Evans. And no, Kastner takes it.
Oh, Kastner's gone.
40, 35, 30, 25, 20. They will not catch him. Touchdown, Giants.
That play confused me from the get-go. Looked like Chris Evans had the ball running up the left side, but what a beautiful play action to hang on to the ball for a quarterback sneak by Kyle Kastner, showing he can still use his legs and his athletic ability.
Ben Davis versus Pike, sectionals, game one.
Eight, but Pike's got to travel the whole length of the field.
Marshall and Collins in the backfield. Marshall looking to throw. He's in his own end zone. Throws it the way. Giants hit it back into the end zone.
By Jalen Harden, pick six. That should seal the game. Thank you.
Sectional championship. Avon, Ben Davis.
So Kastner and Tate in the backfield still. True Smith in motion to the right. Smith not getting it. Kastner throws down the middle. Completed there. 15-10-5. Touchdown. As Kastner is able to complete it to Rashawn Bond.
Regional championship. Ben Davis, Warren.
Play clock down to three. Kastner with the snap. Looks to throw. And the arms. Unbelievable! And the Giants have taken the lead over the Warren Central Warriors. And I have never seen the field go up like this before.
Kastner, Story Emerson in the corner of the end zone. Kastner is so happy. Beautiful job there by Kastner and Story Emerson to stay calm there. The whole place is going crazy. It's hard for us not to.
Great job there by Kyle Kastner, Story Emerson.
Semi-state, Center Grove, Ben Davis.
2-0-1, Kastner in the backfield. Evans going to hand it up right up the gut. Yet again, breaks for another great game. Cuts out to the right side. At the 50. Has another
go.
Ahead of him.
Yes.
At the 30. At the 20. At the 10. Touchdown, Giants.
Oh, my God.
Touchdown, Giants. And they take the lead over the Center Grove Trojans.
Chris Evans has done it again. I repeat, Chris Evans has done it again.
The Ben Davis Giants win the football game 49-45 and are heading to Lucas Oil Stadium.
Lucas Oil, here we come.
And that's going to do it here for your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
Thank God for football.
The nightcap, the primetime battle, the 6A state championship game. It's an all-Mick affair once again as the Ben Davis Giants battle the Carmel Greyhounds. The first time around, it wasn't much of a game. Carmel pounded the Giants on a very strange night. Dropped passes and unfinished drives, as well as a punishing Carmel running attack, doomed Ben Davis's hopes. The Giants haven't lost since then, and Carmel hasn't lost since last year's state championship game, almost 365 days ago. The road through the tournament has been anything but comfortable for the Giants. Not once have the Giants had a comfortable fourth quarter. Instead, it's been a tight run of close calls, last-second heroics, and memorable finishes. For the Greyhounds, they've had a couple of tight games, including the semi-state game at Freed Field last week. But they, like the Giants, have done exactly what it's taken to get here. As the late Raiders owner Al Davis once said, just win, baby. The long road to Lucas Oil Stadium comes to an end tonight in Class 6A as the Ben Davis Giants battle the Carmel Greyhounds. Live from Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis, the game is next. This Ben Davis Sports Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Classic Kings.
2-0-1, Kastner in the backfield. Evans going to hand it up right up the gut yet again. Breaks for another great game. Cuts out to the right side. At the 50. Has
go!
Yes! At the 30. At the 20. At the 10. Touchdown, Giants.
Oh, my God.
Touchdown, Giants. And they take the lead over the Center Grove Trojans.
Chris Evans has done it again. I repeat. Chris Evans has done it again. Giants lead. Giants lead.
And now we go live to the stadium with the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.